Yeah, so we're back. It is exciting. I'm excited.
I'm excited because I loved your YouTube channel and I loved your was it Tumblr or what was it?
It was on YouTube.
Well, no. You had two different things going on. Yeah.
I had the one. It was on its own host site, but God, maybe it was Tumblr. I'm not sure.
Remember. I just remember that if I wanted anything obscure but still grabbed at my heart,
right,
for some reason your stuff was always perfect.
Oh, thanks, man. So, we grew up on the same stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got to be viable, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and we're all just creating. This is what we do. This is how we live. This is how we stay happy.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And it, you know, it's...
And by the way, I brought Kevin Phipps. Kevin Phipps is here. we go through all that.
Who are you?
Yeah. Kevin Phipps is here, and I'm Jeffrey Lamar. Most of you who are listening to this podcast will already know who Kevin Phipps is, but for those who don't, Kevin Phipps is a... Dude, I don't want to marginalize what you do. So you...
I know.
You know...
You get scared of the word, what is it, Renaissance man? Or no, who's the one that... I feel like a Swiss Army man.
But Swiss
the,
Army
who,
man.
Who does everything, and I got to be careful of that.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I would say director, now writer. I didn't realize it was going to be something that would work for me.
Right.
And then obviously a film or an acting coach. So
okay.
I've been an acting coach for 8 years now.
Yeah, so. You've been the Meisner method. You've been teaching that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Meisner technique.
And you've got a school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Artist Box.
Okay. And you can look for that.
Right on Facebook, the Artist Box.
Gotcha.
School, I believe.
Okay.
And it's right in the heart of Tempe, so it's right next to Tempe Marketplace, so right next to all the freeways. And,
Awesome. So, I just wanted to touch on some amazing things that are happening in Hollywood right now and, you know, just some... explain some of the ramifications and the ideas that are moving forward and, you know, especially with...
Like the caution signs.
Exactly. I think with Netflix, it's just amazing what Netflix is doing
now.
It's just amazing. Like, there's not a day that goes by now. I think literally Netflix is going to have to dedicate their own YouTube channel just to trailers. Because they're coming out every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I would literally put an app on my phone for Netflix trailers. because they are documentaries that are blowing my mind that are on the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so, and just the miniseries and all these other things are just unbelievable.
And they're constantly getting great reviews for it.
Yeah.
You know, House of Cards and all those type of things. They're, I mean, winning awards and
putting
them on the map. And nobody even thought that was possible.
No one even thought that was
possible. For
the
internet to be able to do that.
And I think now they have a new movie coming out. Based on... it took place in the 1960s or 1950s. You guys will have to correct me. About this Irish group of soldiers... That went to, I believe it was the Congo, or one of those is Tanzania or a Congo.
Okay.
But they were doing rescue relief effort there. And there were some Belgians that were incorporated with the rebels of that time that saw these Irish, this little Irish group of men as a threat.
Mm.
And this story focuses on like this week-long onslaught on a small little camp of Irish soldiers, man.
Wow.
Like, just holy shit. Yeah. How they held out for this long. You know, and just got, you know, it's one of those, we've seen movies like this before where it was like, oh, this is futile, this isn't gonna happen.
Right. It's the small man against the big entity.
And so, and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a Netflix series. I do believe this is coming to the theaters.
Oh,
so they're producing this as a film, you know. And so along that, we had spoken about Stranger Things and how we believe, or I believe that this whole return to the 80s is starting to happen.
Yeah.
And...
And I think it's been happening.
It's been
subtly
happening.
And now it's starting to be very obvious.
I
mean, you go to comic conventions, you go anywhere, the big ones like San Diego and stuff, you just see nothing but nostalgia everywhere.
Right.
I feel like we're living in a nostalgia decade.
It's totally nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And there's like a handful of directors who are actually like pushing things forward a little bit. I would say, I don't know what the director's name was, with Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ex Machina. Deus Ex Machina is the video game.
Right.
Ex Machina. Yeah, we could reference our, because we got our cell phones here, so I wish I had a laptop. I could look up this stuff right now. But
now, do they say Ex Machina or Ex Machina?
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Okay.
I guess Ex Machina would be the Latin way.
I've heard both, too, yeah.
Right.
Alex Garland,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then now...
Mr. Oscar Isaac is brilliant.
Yeah, and now we've got... the director of Sicario and Prisoners working on The Arrival.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a dichotomy. And you see these guys, it's like almost like you know, without even knowing, that it's like, yeah, it's going to be good. You know why? Because this guy's not a sci-fi guy.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. You know? Which was something that George Lucas did with The Empire Strikes Back. He said, I'm not going to hire a sci-fi genre director.
Right.
You know, I'm going to hire someone who's more drama.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
And this is important. I think Christopher Nolan has almost, if he's not careful, almost pigeonholed himself in a situation where I will associate myself, I will align myself with certain things. Now, he's got this World War II movie mm-hmm. coming out really soon, which is clearly his attempt to go, oh my God, I am so done with DC right now. Right. And even in the producing aspect, could you imagine sitting in a room with people like Disney? I mean, it's just like, it would be so like, oh my God.
Yeah, even the biggest directors, you know, succumbing to a giant like that.
Right. Yeah. And you got Zach, who's Zach. You know, he's just gonna do things. You know what I'm saying?
And it's gonna be flashy and cool looking.
Right. And it's like, well, Zach is the one guy in Hollywood, I feel like now he can get away with literally throwing shit against a wall and seeing if something happens. You know, I respect Zach. I respect his idea. I respect him so much for trying to do The Watchmen.
Right.
No one would touch it. And Zach, really, I mean, there are two types of people in this room. Mm. I think you would agree that there are the ones who loved it and the ones that didn't.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It was like a love-hate, totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like, you know, hey, you know, Zach, you have that. You got Frank Miller, 300, you got that.
Yeah.
You know, you nailed it.
That will always be his now, I mean, right. as far as the movie.
Right. Yeah. I didn't see... Superman versus Batman.
Oh, you didn't see BVS?
I didn't see that.
Okay. I've been wanting to watch the what do they call it? The uncut version, which is ironic because there's no such thing. But because I heard that it's, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes of extra footage that actually makes the whole movie work.
Work.
So it was like critics and everybody panned. And then when that director's cut came out, suddenly critics were like, this was the movie that should have been in the theaters.
Sure, sure.
So. But, of course, it made it 3.5 hours long. What was really weird, and this is my personal opinion, is it was like three stories, probably more. But, you know, I'm sure the fans out there could really correct me. But it was like three stories in one. I mean, you're dealing with, and spoiler alert, you're dealing with Superman's death.
Okay.
Which was huge and iconic into itself.
Right.
With the big guy. And, but then you're also dealing with Dark Knight.
Oh, so wait, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't see the movie.
Okay.
Is that what happens? Doomsday does
do it? Doomsday, yeah.
He does do it?
Yeah.
He does it in this movie?
Yeah.
So
they're taking two huge stories, Dark Knight, or three, technically, because you've got Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
Then you've got the Dark Knight, and then you've got Doomsday.
Okay.
And then they sprinkle in one amazing thing, which is Wonder Woman.
But gotcha.
I mean,
gotcha.
She was phenomenal.
Right.
But there's three stories colliding, and two iconic stories.
Wow.
You know, with The Dark Knight and also Doomsday.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. When we got to the end of the movie, I was like, I cannot believe that they brought Doomsday in.
Wow. That's early.
That very early.
Right.
It was like, let's just kill Superman right out the gate.
Right.
It was like, what?
Right, right.
So big time spoiler alert if you have not seen it by now.
It's the same thing that J.J. Abrams did with the last Star Trek film, not beyond, but before that. This isn't Khan. This isn't Khan. This isn't Khan. This isn't Khan. It's Khan.
Khan! I'm at Phoenix Comic Con!
You know? By the way, it's going to get harder and harder for these directors to sort of keep these things under wraps.
Right now.
It's going to get harder and harder. J.J. Abrams goes... He literally has to spend millions of dollars to make sure that nothing get leaked. I mean, nothing gets
and
leaked.
And it still gets
leaked. And they're,
you know, super scare tactics, you would think. Right. You know, that poor lady, the extra,
right.
who leaked that photo and got sued for millions. Right. I mean, she's not going to, there's no way she has that money in the bank. That's, you know.
And again, I think it was for face.
Yeah. You know, so this is a scare tactic.
Right. And obviously, from a producer standpoint, it's like, well, we need to pin this on somebody. And also, I posted this on Mediocrity, all the images, which they don't seem to care, that they are being leaked of the new Spielberg film Ready Player One being shot in London.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it looks like they don't really care. I mean, they were snapping away.
Well, it makes you wonder, you know, some of the, I don't want to say propaganda, but... like, if they purposely leak things, you know?
Right.
Quotations leak things.
Right, right.
You know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, they leaked it. Somebody leaked that. But in actuality, no, somebody leaked it.
Right.
He's on a payroll.
No kidding. And this also brings me to an interesting point with regards to, and I read Ernest Cline's book, Ready Player One. Uh-huh. Good story.
Mm-hmm.
So many 80s references in it. I'll get these things. Don't know if everybody else will. Right. I don't even think a lot of people will get it on camera.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It may be a situation where there's a shit ton of explaining to do afterwards. And I do feel like this disconnect is happening with regards to even DC films like Suicide Squad. I didn't know what the hell Suicide Squad was. There were a lot of people that didn't and literally just went to see, well, the Joker's in it.
Right.
Jared Leto's in it.
And
nostalgia. Oh my God.
And you know, it's even happening with the 90s too, though. Not to take away from the Ready Player One, but even the 90s now, I can already see it's trickling in.
Oh, really?
You know,
can
where,
you give me
where,
an example of
where,
that?
Where, you know, I'll be on, you know, the Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con page, because it's got thousands of followers. But you'll now hear the 30-somethings talking about, you know, I loved Pokemon, and I love, you know, and all the stuff that started coming out in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now Digimon and all those things. Okay. They're really bringing all the cartoons back.
Like Tamagotchi.
Right. Well, and I just saw that in Hot Topic the other day. They brought it back.
My God.
And so they're starting to now filter into the next decade.
Right.
You know, because now they're getting older.
Right, right. And, by the way, this will definitely usher in that era. Walt Disney acquired Nintendo's all their licensed characters.
No, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Walt Disney acquired all of Nintendo characters.
They are like, Walt Disney is the mega giant of all mega giants. I mean, you've got Star Wars, you've got Marvel now, who can't seem, they're the type that just seems to pee, and it goes gold and platinum.
Right.
And now Nintendo?
Nintendo.
I mean,
now, Nintendo does own Pokemon, doesn't they? Don't know.
I thought they did, but recently when the Pokemon Go came out and there was some troubles, Nintendo said, look, because Nintendo's stock went up.
Okay.
And Nintendo had to make a statement saying, look, we don't really own Pokemon, so this isn't really doing anything.
So
their stock went back down.
Okay.
So I'm not entirely sure, because I thought it was too at one point. It's just called the Pokemon Company.
Oh, that's what it is. Pokemon International. Okay, the Pokemon Company. Okay. The level of nostalgia is coming back with such ferocity.
I mean, like you said earlier, look at how, like, out of nowhere, Stranger Things comes on to Netflix.
Right.
And suddenly it just blows up. I mean, at one point at IMDb, it was, like, the top 16 shows of all time.
And the Duffer Brothers, this is their only big thing.
Yeah.
I fucking looked at their, like, resume, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
They literally just got handed this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard they pitched it, and they pitched it. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is quite insane, you know, how this whole thing came about, you know? I know that there's other directors, the guy who did you see It Follows?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Same thing.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about It Follows. I love It Follows. And yes, granted, it's 80s to the max. But does not... He right. does something special with it.
Yeah. He's just saying, I'm taking the creativity that I felt from the 80s.
Right,
and
then right.
bringing it to a newer type of form.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you remember the scene where that girl's using that compact?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Weird.
Awesome. And yeah. yeah, and what's great, too, is his art direction was like, I'm not sure I'm in the 80s or am I in 2016?
This.
And that I thought was interesting.
Right. It was very, what do you call it, anachronistic. The artistic direction, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They are on point with
even,
that.
Yeah, even the shot of just her sitting on the diving board.
Right, right. Yeah. Which leads me to think, you know, where else could they go with so much that was packed into that first
yeah.
season? And I'm going... Wow, are they trying to stretch this out, or are they just,
yeah,
you know, I was like, this is a lot to tell. This is a huge, and you're
honestly,
it's
a huge story.
Yeah, and you're breakneck pace at telling it, and almost leaving holes, mm-hmm. And well, take for instance, the, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more effort on the sheriff's part to like maybe infiltrate this huge freaking facility.
Right.
I don't know. If I see a mutant attached to a wall, I'm not gonna go and touch it immediately.
Right.
You know, I'm not gonna.
But that is something you'd do in the 80s.
Right. And that would be something you'd do in the 80s.
Yeah.
And maybe that
now we're too savvy. You know,
right.
I would never even think of touching
right.
that.
Which is another reason why this film. Could or those series or TV shows or like Independence Day and Resurgence or whatever Insurgents,
yeah.
those things could do well in the Chinese market for folks who aren't cinephiles.
Right.
They're
right.
just looking for the Western experience.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these holes don't necessarily have to be filled. We dedicated a podcast to ripping something apart.
Right.
You know, and going,
right.
you know, and directors have to be smart,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, directors are getting a little bit, you know, like, oh, God. Making movies for the American audience is just too much. I can't
right.
do this shit anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be exhausting. You have to have
right.
teams of people.
Right.
Who sit around and just go, you can't do that because that's going to be, you know. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a level of disbelief and suspension of disbelief, but I feel like, You can still show us something.
Yeah.
Case in point, yeah. Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
Yeah, not a lot of dialogue,
mm-hmm.
but damn it, if George Miller didn't show us, give us a story, he
yeah.
gave us a world.
Yeah.
And said, okay, you're all gonna find out about this other stuff later.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of
yeah.
this world?
He wasn't he wasn't playing us down, even though, like
right.
you said, there wasn't much information. He wasn't also dumbing us down
right.
by showing us everything. He
right.
was just like, this is the world we're in.
Yeah.
And you'll and everything had a history to it
right.
without having to be explained.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I go back and now I watch Fury Road on Blu-ray and
sure.
I'm looking at it and just to look at the artistic direction.
Sure.
I'm like, they didn't have to do this.
Right.
You're looking at certain vehicles and going, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to make this. We would have filled that in with what we know in our brain.
Sure.
But he lets you see it
mm-hmm.
so that he's going, no. No, you're not getting off that easy. It took almost 20 years for me to do this. You're going to see what I have in my head.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? And
for stuff that you're only going to see like for seconds at a time.
Exactly. I feel like at some point we can push forward, and there are artists who are pushing forward. I don't know if you got a chance to see Midnight Special.
Oh, is that a... Wait.
That's the guy who directed Mud that had Michael Shannon in it about...
Oh,
this.
Midnight Special. Yes, I wanted to see that.
Oh, God, dude.
Was it really good?
It's... Granted, the script wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers. The origins of where this kid came from
sure.
Is definitely ambiguous.
Okay.
The ending is amazing.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
The ending will blow you away.
I've been wanting to see it for quite some time now.
You did... They hurl you right into this whole kidnapping of this kid from a Mormon polygamous sect.
Mm.
They were worshiping this kid, you know?
Okay.
So they hurl you right in. To, you know, that situation without, you know, much explanation. But
sure.
you watch Michael Shannon, you're like, ah, we don't need explanation.
Right.
That guy's fucking great. Dude, you know?
That guy brings it hard. Even as Zod.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he just, yeah, we don't need it. We don't really need it. But the ending, it did something with the whole alien genre that I didn't think could be done. It put the aliens on this planet in an alternate dimension. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You literally, oh God, that ending is so amazing because it, the fabric of the space-time continuum literally rips open on this planet, forming a bubble and revealing what's there, but only in another dimension.
Oh.
So you're seeing this amazing ending. You're going, holy shit, this is really happening. It's one of those moments that kind of caught me.
That's good.
And I liken it to that moment in Avatar. And I hate to use this analogy because Avatar was a visually good film. The script-wise, it just wasn't great.
Right.
Well, when everything went bioluminescent.
No, right.
You're like,
right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I saw it in IMAX 3D and I was like, whoa, this is insane, you know? But it was the visual experience. But I really did feel for the first time I was in another world. And I said, I'm in a theater getting freaked the fuck out. This is amazing. Pandora is awesome.
Yeah. What is that? That's Pokemon part two. Not Pokemon. That's Pocahontas part two.
Let's wrap this up. I want you to plug away, sir. You've got this amazing comic book coming out.
Yeah. We were all deep and serious. Now I'm going to talk about a comic book. No.
Well, we've got this. You've got this amazing comic book, and the art in it is amazing. Now, you did the art.
No, I did part of it.
You did part
Ron Montoya is the line artist. He's the one that does the actual meat of it.
Okay.
And then I'm the colorist.
Okay.
But I'm also the writer.
Oh, by the way, the colors are amazing.
Oh,
they literally pop off the page, man.
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
Every time I look at it, it's like, oh, that's artwork. That's artwork. And that's the way comic books should be.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, the book is really interesting because it's set in the middle of very tumultuous times.
Okay.
Sounds familiar, between two countries.
Right.
And it deals with the magics and the mechanical people.
Okay.
So people who believe in science and things like that. And then the magics, who are considered archaic because they still believe in a lost religion.
Right.
So, and in between that is these five misfits. Three of them are criminals.
Okay.
Really. And they become our heroes, all five of these people.
Okay.
And they get stuck in the middle of this whole situation where they have been manipulated to steal this item from the magics.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting their souls pulled out of their bodies and stuck into stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crazy twist.
Right.
And by doing that, it endowed them with these powers that they never, because they were just normal people.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to get their bodies back.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they've just found out that they're in the middle of this huge thing that they have to figure out. So,
okay.
Without giving too much away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. And this first book is how many pages?
32 pages.
32 pages.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a decent.
Yeah,
that's a decent
22
amount.
Is the,
that's a nice,
the normal size.
Right,
it's
a nice trade.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because we wanted people to, like, the first issue just to get into their origin story.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
Okay, and are you showing this at the Phoenix Comic Con? Will you guys have
I
a
hope
booth?
So. Yeah,
okay.
We won't have a booth because it's like a 2-year waiting list. Right
okay,
now, but,
okay.
But we will be there
okay.
in other ways, of course.
Okay.
And we have a few people that already want to cosplay the characters. I got
okay.
messages.
Can oh,
I
wow.
cosplay?
Okay.
You know, strong female characters. Actually, all characters are just strong. And
okay.
And
you have a Facebook page set up. I liked it the other day.
Lost Souls Comic.
Lost Souls Comic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At Facebook.
Cool.
And then also the Twitter, Lost Souls Comics.
Okay.
Things like, which we've been retweeted by some pretty cool creators themselves. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone you can mention?
I'd have to go back through. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even this really great Hollywood producer.
Okay.
Recently liked it and
all right.
retweeted.
Now, had they seen, or did they seen the artwork? Or they,
just the artwork.
Just the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Film-wise? Anything?
Film-wise, for all the people who, in the local community who have been waiting for such a long time.
Myself included.
Himself, yes, because you have a beautiful role in it. Grief is finally in audio.
Okay.
So we're hoping three or four more months.
And okay.
Just post-production audio. It was quite the undertaking.
Okay.
You know, originally it was a three-hour film, and we got it down. Or 3 hours and a half, and now we got it down. But anyways, without...
This is going to be mental.
Yeah. It's a psychological screwed-up film.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer, and you can go on their Facebook page. It's
Grief Movie. Yeah, Grief Movie. Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait to see that, and I know that I definitely want to get to your house. Look at some.
You should definitely see the three-hour cut.
Yeah.
You know, which will be released on DVD. But,
okay. Okay. I'm gonna hold you to that. I want to see that. I want to be the first to see it.
Anytime you want. Yeah. Okay. You totally deserve it. Okay. You did a phenomenal job.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Not to butter your buns.
Yeah. You know what? I had a great time, man.
Oh, I always have a great time. We talk for hours.
Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna have to edit this thing down, man. This is insane.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we can do this...
I think we should do another one, just call it Free For All.
Yeah, yeah. Well, folks, that is our first podcast, Mediocrity is a New Genius. You can find us on Facebook, Mediocrity is a New Genius. If you've got friends of friends, I'm sure they've got it, and the link will just pop up. We are also available on Twitter. So like us on there, like us on Mediocrity on Facebook, share, do what you gotta do. You know, we're just doing it. So with that, I guess we'll see you guys there.